This morning, I'd like us to consider our role in spreading and responding to the good news. You know, as we come to the end of another calendar year, there is much for which we can give thanks to God personally and nationally. What are you thanking God for today? What has God brought you through this year? How have you experienced the manifold blessings of God in your life? Be sure to take some time by yourself or with others in a place of worship and give thanks to God from a grateful heart. Certainly, as a nation, there are many things for which we can give God thanks. One of those things, my friend, is our historic low reduction in the homicide rate, approximately 43%. This means that at least 400 additional persons would have been murdered in this country without this kind of statistics. The JCF, the JDF, the government, the judiciary, the church, and a whole host of other stakeholders are to be commended for their hard work. However, I would like us to give thanks to God, for this reduction represents answers to many prayers that have been prayed across this land. It is important that we know the good news about Jesus, and that this is what the Advent season is all about, that God has left us with the good news which requires all of us to do some serious work in spreading and responding to the Great Commission. A great vantage point from which to see this work that we have been left to do is through the actions of the shepherds after the angels left them, according to Luke 2, 15 through to 20. The Bible says, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, quote, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him," the word of God says, "they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up these things in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as had been told to them." We should not miss these actions of the shepherds, my friend, because they are significant. Simply put, hearing, they believed. Believing, they came. Coming, they saw. Seeing, they shared. Sharing, they praised. Let's consider this a little bit more. The shepherds heard what the angel had said to them concerning the birth of Jesus that was announced. They simply believed. The good news was about forgiveness of sins in Jesus alone. And this, my friends, is something absolutely important. The Bible says in John 3, verse 18, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's only Son." The truth is that the gospel does require faith to believe. It is because there are many things about God and salvation that are not logical and does not make sense to the natural man. That is why God has given to every man a measure of saving faith, which gives us the God-given ability to trust in what God says and to take action on the basis of such truths we are called to embrace. The Bible says it's by grace that we are saved, and that we are to live by faith and not by sight. My friends, this faith is not the same as mental acknowledgement of what you hear. It's not mental assent. If you really want to know if you truly believe what God says about the gospel, look at your actions and see what actions you've taken as a result of the gospel you've heard. The shepherds heard and they believed. And according to Luke 2:15, having believed, the Bible says that they hurried off and went where Mary and Joseph was, and they saw Mary and Joseph and the baby. You know, there are approximately 8.3 billion people in our world today. And of that number, it is estimated that around 2.3 to 2.4 billion people are Christians. This means that Christians make up about 31 to 33% of the world's population. You know, in the over 2,000 years since we've received the Great Commission from our Lord Jesus to go and to preach the gospel in all the world, many have still not heard this gospel. Many have still not heard about this Jesus. However, it is our responsibility for the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world. The Bible says that when the shepherds had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had seen and what had been told to them. My friends, too many Christians and too many churches are at ease in Zion today. They are doing little or nothing about the Great Commission. They are busy singing, "I want to go to heaven and rest," and they are busy competing to see who can have the best praise and worship service or who can have the most comfortable buildings, when the truth is, people are dying and going to a Christless eternity from which there is no escape. Friends, these things ought not to be so. These are serious times, and every Christian and every church, no matter the denomination, must throw off the works of darkness, repent, and come back to our first love, and do the works that God has called us to do. The Bible says that the shepherds, having come to the place where Jesus was, by faith, they saw him as the angels told him. Verse 16 of chapter 2 tells us that also, having seen Mary and Joseph of the child, they shared the good news with others. What can churches do to better fulfill the Great Commission in the coming year? To better fulfill the Great Commission, churches need to cultivate a culture of discipleship and evangelism. Churches need to equip their members to share their faith by teaching and modeling. Churches need to prioritize prayer rather than give lip service to prayer. Churches need to plan strategically and send missionaries as well as support for missionaries. The church needs to adapt its ministry models to love missions and disciple making rather than the outdated methods of evangelism that they have adopted. The truth is, my friend, the church needs to focus on building relationships with unsaved people of the community so that more and more people can really and truly have deep relationship with others that will be a fertile soil for that which the church is called to be and to stand for today. The fact is, churches need to be more effective. You know, friends, according to the Joshua Project, which seeks to help the church to reach unreached people, we are told that just over 4,000 people groups need the gospel. This means, my friends, we do have a lot more work to do. As you plan your life, and as the church seeks to do ministry in 2026, what will you do differently? How will you live and serve more effectively? God is really waiting on the church to get things right, and then the kingdom of God will come to families, communities, and nation. It is still true, my friends. The Bible does say, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land." God is waiting on the church to straighten up and fly right. With the passage of Hurricane Melissa and so many churches being damaged, I really do believe that God is speaking to us. He is at least saying to us that it cannot be business as usual. As we minister to the practical needs around us, there must be a period of reflection, repentance, and recommitment to hear what God says and obey. You know, one of my favorite definitions of revival is as follows. That revival is a new level of obedience. Revival is a new level of obedience. It seems to me that much was going well for Jamaica before Hurricane Melissa exposed our shaky foundation. Let's remember that it is still righteousness that exalts a nation, and that it is sin that will bring reproach or uglify any people. The text in Luke 2 closes with the shepherds returning and rejoicing because all who had heard them were amazed at the message, what they had seen and what they had heard. Friends, when we obey God in sharing the good news, God will give his word success, because he's still in the business of saving people and transforming lives into trophies of his grace. May God help us as a people to recognize that we are living in serious times. There is nothing wrong with God. There is nothing wrong with the gospel. God is waiting on us to believe, to obey, and to share the gospel to the glory of God. God bless you, and have yourselves a peaceful and purpose-filled New Year.